And I am excited to be with you guys today. And I'm excited because, as you may have noticed, we're starting a new series. So, our new series for September is going to be called Free Speech. Guys, in America, one of the greatest freedoms we have is the freedom of speech. And there is a number of different ways that we can use that freedom. But as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, we have a different calling with our words. We're called to heal with our words and not to wound others. We're called to build up others and not to tear them down. And we're called to bless others, not to curse. Okay, so as we start our new series, that is what we're focusing on. We're focusing on our freedom of speech and how we can use that as Christians to glorify God. So why don't you guys bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for words, God. Lord, thank you that we can communicate with you. Father, you have gifted us in so many different ways to communicate with one another. Father, I pray this morning as we just dive into to see what your word says about how we can speak, how we can treat others. Father, you would convict our hearts. Lord, that you would teach us this morning. Father, I pray that these words would be yours and not my own. Father, that ultimately you would receive the glory. Thank you, and we pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen. All right, how many college football fans do I have out there? Yeah? Yeah? Come on. Come on. Yes. So it's quite simple. College football is the greatest sport in America. There is no argument about it. It is true. Some of you, I can tell, have varying opinions, but it's just the way it is. College football essentially started back up this weekend. I know there were some games last weekend, but more importantly, college football started back up this weekend, and it made me think of some stuff. I wanted to think back on some of my favorite speeches that I've ever heard after a game, and it made me remember of a guy named Tim Tebow. Anyone heard of Tim Tebow? Yeah, some of you might have, some of you might not. So Tim Tebow played for the Florida Gators back in 2008. He had quite a career there, but there was one moment that I feel really defined him. In 2008, Florida was had high expectations for the season. It was believed that Florida might have their first ever undefeated season in football. And they went out and they played in their very first game and they lost to Ole Miss. They lost their very first game. And Tim Tebow got to go up and get interviewed after this game. Tebow was the starting quarterback, and he was asked some questions after the game. And I want you guys to check out what he said.
I'm sorry. Extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal. Something Florida's never done here. But I promise you one thing. A lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season, and you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season, and you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of this season. God bless.
Man, I'm ready to burst through a brick wall. And he even ends it with a nice little God bless there at the end, but Tim Tebow gives a speech, and he apologizes. And he says that you will never see someone practice harder than he's going to practice. Never see someone push his team harder than he's going to push. Tim Tebow had two options here in this post-game interview. Right? They just opened their season. They expected to win every game. And they lost the first game. He had two options. The first option was he could naturally blame all the problems that they might have faced in the game. He could have blamed his other teammates for mistakes they made, any turnovers they may have had. He could have talked about the other team and how the other team is good and just how it just wasn't their day. And he could have caused a lot more division amongst his team by blaming players. Or he could do what he did, and that was take responsibility. He took ownership. He got up there and he took ownership of what happened. He didn't blame his teams. He didn't cause division, but rather he fought for unity. He fought for unity on that team, and because of that, because of his words in that moment, that 2008 Florida Gator team went to beat the Oklahoma Sooners in the national championship that year. And it's okay to clap for that if you want to, because obviously we're all very thankful that they went on to beat Oklahoma in the championship. But more importantly, a season that started off in ways that they wouldn't have imagined turned around, and they won a national championship because of Tim Tebow's words after that game. Guys, the truth is our words have power. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life. Tim Tebow had two choices there. His words could cause death, which would mean in that case division and unity, or life and lead to a national championship. Because a lot is at stake in what we say today. In this verse, the word tongue, it just means our words. It can be speaking, it can be writing, it could be signing, it could be painting, all different types of ways we use our words. And our words, guys, they have been weapons of mass destruction. Our words have led to Holocausts and wars, but our words have also led to peace among countries. Our words have led to death, but they've also led people to not die. Okay? Words have killed families. They've destroyed relationships and families. They've destroyed friendships. Words have destroyed hopes and dreams. But Proverbs 15:4 says that a gentle tongue is a tree of life. While words may have done all those things, words have bonded families. Words have mended relationships. They've strengthened relationships. And words can bring hopes and dreams to life. The reality is, every single one of us in this room has experienced the death and life of words, whether it be our own words or the words of others. Maybe it was something your dad said, or maybe it was something he didn't say. Maybe it was the way a coach yelled at you at practice, or maybe it was the way a coach encouraged you. Or maybe you were playing an Xbox Live game and someone made fun of you, or someone commented on your most recent Instagram post or TikTok post and they insulted you. Words have power, and we have all experienced that words in many different situations. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." That's what we're going to talk about today, guys. As we open our new series called Free Speech, we're going to talk about how we can use our words to heal, not to wound. I'm going to give you three ways that will help you do that. So, as I keep with the college football theme here, because again, it's the greatest sport in America, I wanted to show you guys another favorite speech of mine. This one comes from a coach that I personally am a fan of, on and off, because I'm a little biased as an Oklahoma State fan, as you guys know. Go Pokes. I know there's a lot of us out there. Yep, I see all the fans, yes. Mike Gundy is the head football coach for Oklahoma State Cowboys, and he too has a famous speech after a game. And I just want to say that his turned out a little bit differently than Tim Tebow. Check it out.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
Incredible. I've never seen someone be so proud for being a 40-year-old man. That's Mike Gundy, guys. As proud as I am of Oklahoma State, that is not his best moment. Let me tell you guys, there's two speeches I've showed you today, and there's been two results that have come from those speeches. You have Tim Tebow's speech. They won a national championship, and his words got placed on a plaque. A plaque outside of the Florida Gators stadium. All players see it. Fans see it. His words got placed on a plaque. Mike Gundy got his words on a meme. And yes, he has a mullet now, and it still has not allowed us to forget that he yelled, "He's a man and he's 40. Guys, the reason for that, the reason I show you that is because Mike Gundy is a great example of using rash words. That verse we just read in Proverbs 12 talks about rash words and how they are wounding to people. That word rash implies thoughtlessness, implies thoughtless words or hasty, flippant, which means basically acting really quickly in the moment based on your emotions and not doing the first thing that you should do when trying to use your words to heal others is think before you speak. That is the first thing you should do when using your words to heal and not to wound, is think before you speak. There's moments where we get rash with our words and we move too quickly. And if you're like me, you might call it a word vomit or a mouth vomit, where you're talking so fast, you don't even know the words coming out of your mouth. And you think to yourself, did he even think before he said that? Did he just say it and just go with it? Like, that is a word vomit. That is what happens when we speak so quickly, guys. Proverbs 17:27 through 28 says this: whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. It is better for people to think you're a fool than for you to prove it with your words. Again, it is better for people to think you're a fool than to prove it with your words. I am the king of this, guys. I use way too many words all the time. I am very uncomfortable with silence. In this, you know, you could be in a large group situation and someone asks a question and then everyone's just kind of like, that stresses me out. I can't handle it. And so I fill that silence with words. I actually convince myself that I need to talk so that people won't think I'm a fool. And oftentimes, it leaves me as a fool. I love being the lively person in the room. If everybody walks into a room, I want to be the person that makes sure everyone feels included. I'll look over there and I say, you can be a part of the conversation. You can be a part of the conversation. Everyone, be a part of the conversation. I want to make sure people feel included. And while those are good desires, I can use those incorrectly. And I've seen that play out in two different situations. You see, a lot of times in my desire to include everyone, I want to be the funniest guy in the room. So I want to laugh. I want to make other people laugh. I want to laugh with everyone. And sometimes that comes at the expense of putting others down. You see, when I'm not thinking, I hurt people with my humor. Even though jokes are funny and fun, when I don't think about those words, I hurt people with my humor. The second way I see it play out is the same kind of situation, but on the other side. I've been the person on the other side of those jokes. I've been the person who's gotten made fun of for the sake of laughter. And there, when a joke is made at my expense, I'm quick to hurt people back. I'm quick to react, and I got to hurt the person that just hurt me. No matter the situation, no matter which side of the spectrum you find yourself on, words have power. And it's easy to get trapped into speaking without thinking. And when you don't think before you speak, you hurt others. When you're reckless with your words, guys, it is much easier to wound others when we're not thinking. Proverbs 14:16 and 17 says this. It says, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. And short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. When you're reckless with your words, when you don't think before you speak, it is much easier to wound. So next time you find yourself in that situation, you're getting emotional, you're involved in a situation where maybe you got made fun of, or maybe you made fun of someone else, and you're trying to figure out, man, am I thinking before I speak here? I want you to ask yourself this question. Will I want these words back? Ask yourself that one question. Will I want these words back? And really think about it before you say them. How many of you guys go to summer camp? Anyone? Yeah, a lot of summer campers out there. Anyone go to T-Bar M? That's okay. Yes, yes, yes. All right, I got some T-Bar Mers here. Guys, so I went to T-Bar M, okay? And I spent a lot of time working at T-Bar M. I was a camper at T-Bar M. But when I finished college a few years ago, I did this program called the TIM Team. It's a year-long program where I get to live at camp, and I live with 11 other people. That's right. All of you that think it's fun to have sleepovers with your friends, sometimes it's not always fun to have that sleepover every single night for a whole year. And here's what happened. There's a guy on our team. As I've just told you, I love using humor, or otherwise sarcasm. And it is a love language to me, and it is just the way that I like to laugh. And there was a guy on our team that wasn't the same. He didn't exactly enjoy sarcasm all the time. Sometimes it was harder for him to understand a sarcastic joke, which is pretty common. But when we were trying to build a friendship on that team, I totally disregarded the fact that he didn't understand some of the jokes I made. There were jokes that I made that hurt him. There were jokes that I made that he didn't understand and that he would then get hurt by. And I knew that he didn't like humor. I knew that he didn't quite understand what I was saying all the time. But I cared so much about these 11 people seeing me as the funniest guy. That was the way that I was going to be cool, is if I was the funniest guy, that I only cared about my desire to be funny rather than his desire to just understand the humor and to be loved by my words. I was too focused on being funny, and I hurt him because I only cared about myself. Which brings me to the second thing, guys. The second thing for using our words to heal and not to wound is to consider others before yourself. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." That word humility, it gets used a lot, and it can often be defined as not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. To be clear, it doesn't mean that you are downgrading yourself, that you are thinking less of yourself, you're thinking lower qualities, lower character traits, that you're just a bad person. You're just thinking about yourself less. And the reason that this is good for using our words to heal and not to wound is because it places us in a position to consider others before ourselves. With that mindset, it is a lot harder to wound others with our words. Because usually our responses are fueled by our own desires, the direction that we want the conversation to go. Right? I wanted to use jokes so that people would just think more of me and think that I'm a funny guy. But the reality is, hurt people. That's the truth. And when I spend more time thinking about others, it allows me to see under the surface in other people's lives. I'm not wasting time thinking about myself, but I'm placing myself in their shoes. So in a moment of hurt, whether someone is hurting me with their words or I'm hurting them with their words, I am now ready to understand what they might be going through. Right? I am ready to understand that my friend on my team just doesn't like sarcasm and that it hurts his feelings. And if I place myself in his shoes, I can feel that hurt. I can understand where he's coming from, instead of being so worried about myself. And coincidentally, guys, when we consider others before ourselves, it also sets us up for success when we're the person who hurts them with our words. It is easier for me to own up to the hurt that I have caused when I'm considering others before myself. It is easier for me to own up to my sarcasm, the way that I hurt that friend, when I'm thinking more about him than myself. And then we can move towards forgiveness, because we remove our selfish desires and we place them as more significant than whatever it is we wanted. So when you're caught up in the situation and you're being, you know, there's a lot of things going on, here's a question you can ask yourself when you're considering others before yourself. Who is benefiting most from my words? Myself or others? And think about that. The third thing we want to do when using our words to heal and not to wound is to only wound when necessary. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says this, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What? Faithful are the wounds of a friend? Maybe thinking, when is it okay for a friend to hurt me? Let me give you an example. As I said, I worked at camp. We used to have arena soccer. It's a big old arena. Some of you guys may have played the sport. You play soccer in there. We played every week with our leadership team and our directors. And you may have noticed, guys, I'm pretty competitive. We recently got a king paddle for ping pong foursquare because competition matters. And it turns out that I am pretty competitive in arena soccer as well as any other sports that I play. So we're playing arena soccer this day. It's really hot outside, and we're competing really hard, and we're trying to win the game. And my boss comes up to me after the game, and he goes, "Hey, Ryan, are you doing okay?" I was just like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a little tired from the game, but I'm fine." And he goes, "Man, I was worried because I just noticed that you were getting really tense in that game, and some of the things you said to me, they hurt. Like, they hurt my feelings because you were making fun of the way that I was playing the game." And he was making me aware of some of the hurt that I had caused while competing. Guys, that was the very first moment. I was in college. That was the very first time I had ever realized how my competitive behavior was hurting other people. That's pretty late in my days of competition, but that was the first time that anyone had come up to me and told me of the hurt that I had caused. And honestly, guys, when you find out that you're hurting others, it hurts you. That hurt me to know. Like, to be called out like that by my boss, to be called out while we were playing a fun game that I hurt his feelings with my words, that hurts. But you know what? Now, when I play sports, now when I play ping pong foursquare, I know that I need to monitor my attitude. I know that I need to watch my words because I can hurt people with my words in competition. And that is all thanks to Mark for being a faithful friend. And you see, faithful friends, will bruise you now so that you won't bleed later. So if we acknowledge that we only wound a friend when necessary, how do we know when it's necessary? Here's a couple questions you can consider when trying to figure out when to faithfully wound a friend. First question you can ask is, are they seriously dishonoring God? Could you point somewhere in Scripture, in the Bible, that shows they are disobeying the Lord? Question two says, has something they've said or done permanently damaged a relationship? Is there a relationship where you can see obvious division? Can you see that two people that were great friends are now suddenly no longer friends? Can you see obvious division? Question three, have you or someone else been hurt by their words or actions? And number four, are they causing harm to themselves? If you answer yes to any number of these questions, Jesus calls us in Matthew 18:15 to go talk to that person. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Those questions right there will help you know when you can faithfully wound a friend. So you might be wondering, okay, well, if I answer yes to one of those questions, how do I even do that? How do I go about wounding my friend in a way that is good? There's five different ways, five different things you can do. Okay, the first thing is this. Remember that your motivation is love, and your goal is for their good. When you're going to wound a friend, your motivation is love, and your goal is for their good. If you work out of that mindset, it will help you be in a position to do that kindly. The second thing is you want to initiate a conversation. You could go up to them and just say, "Hey, I've been noticing something recently. I thought I would share this with you. Would you be cool with that? Is that okay if I share that with you?" That's it. You're just initiating a conversation. And then after that, you'll explain what happened. You explain what happened. You be honest and gentle. Just say, I've seen you at school, and it seems like you're making fun of others in our class. And man, I just don't know if that's the right thing. That those words seem hurtful. And after that, you'll assume the best and point them to truth. Assume the best in them. You're not going to them. You're not accusing. You're being honest and gentle, and you assume the best. You might say, hey, I know your desire is to follow Christ. And his word tells us that we should let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's Ephesians 4:29. And you're pointing them to Scripture, pointing them to the truth that matters, a way to guide them and help them see how their words might have been hurtful and not showing that they are following Christ. And the last thing you can do is offer accountability. All you have to say is, hey, I don't do this perfectly either. I've used my words that and they've hurt people. I've done this too. Maybe we could hold each other accountable for the way we use our words. Because that word accountability just means maybe we can help each other. If we're seeking accountability with one another, it means that we are working together to point each other to be more like Jesus. We're working together to point each other more like Jesus. That's the third thing. You only wound when necessary. Some questions you can consider, and then you go about it in that way. And again, guys, the really important part of that is, remember, your motivation is love. Your goal is for their good. You know what I think the most beautiful part of being a believer in Jesus is? It's that we all have something in common. Every single person that believes in Jesus has something in common. I like to say the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Romans 5:8 reminds us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you make the mistake of wounding others with your words, I want you to remember the one who was wounded for your sake. Remember that you, weak, broken you, and myself, were saved by grace. Nothing that we did, but everything that Jesus did for us. We as believers can be motivated by the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life. Not only for your mistakes, but for the sins of those sitting right next to you. For the sins of the person who might have made fun of you in class. For the sins of the person who might have made fun of you on Instagram. For the sins of the coach who yelled at you at practice. Or the parent that yelled at you at home. Or even you, the one who yelled at any number of them. Or made fun of any person in class. And if you believe that Jesus saved you, you can spend eternity with God, and you have a relationship with him right here, right now. And in God's hands, your words can be used to help any brother or sister look more like Jesus. So when we're using our words to heal and not to wound, guys, listen, give your attention. Think before you speak. Consider others before yourselves, and know only to wound when necessary. And most of all, when the time comes and you open your mouth, give grace. Pray with me. Lord, thank you just to be reminded of this truth this morning. God, thank you that we get to be part of your will, Lord. That you use us in ways that we could never imagine, to glorify you here on this earth, that you use us to help others know you more. Father, I pray that as we walk out of this room, we would think before we speak, God, that we would be conscious of how we use our words. Lord, that we would love others well just by the way we speak, just by the way we use our words. That when we leave a conversation with someone, everyone involved in that conversation would know you more. Father, thank you for the reminder that we all needed this morning, Lord, that you saved us from our sin. Convict our hearts of that, Lord. I pray that you would just help us receive that truth with love. Lord, that we would glorify you. Father, we pray all of these things in your holy, precious name. Amen.